ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ. ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ. ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ. నారాయణం నమస్కృత్య నరం చైవ నరోత్తమం దేవీం సరస్వతీం వ్యాసం తతో జయముదీరయేత్. నష్టప్రాయేషు అభద్రేషు నిత్యం భాగవత సేవయా. భగవతీర్ఉత్తమ శ్లోకే భక్తిర్భవతి నైష్టికీ. కృష్ణాయ వాసుదేవాయ దేవకీనందనాయ చ నందగోపకుమారాయ గోవిందాయ నమో నమః. ఓమ జ్ఞానత మిరందస్య జ్ఞానాంజన శలాకయ చక్షురోన్మిలితం యేన తస్మై శ్రీ గురవే నమః. నమో విష్ణుపాదాయ కృష్ణప్రేష్టాయ భూతలే శ్రీమతే భక్తివేదాంత స్వామినితి నామినే. నమస్తే సారస్వతిదేవే గౌరవాణి ప్రచారిణే నిర్విశేష శూన్యవాది పాశ్చాతిదశతారిణే. జయ శ్రీ కృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీయద్వైత గదాదా శ్రీవాసాది గౌరభక్తవృంద. హరే కృష్ణ హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే హరే, హరే రామ్ 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 హరే హరే. So we are the Sunday feast series, we are discussing the different demons killed by Krishna in Vrindavan. Krishna had killed many demons in Vrindavan, Mathura and Dwarka, but in the series of Sunday feast we are focusing on the demons killed by Krishna in Vrindavan. In the past few weeks we had already discussed the demons killed, the killing of Putana, Shakatasur, Trinavarta and Vatsasur, I guess. So today we are going to discuss the killing of the demon called as Bakasur. So the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Krishna, has performed many wonderful pastimes in Vrindavan. In fact, the word Bhagavan, in the Bhagavad Gita, when Krishna first starts speaking, Shri Bhagavan Vacha. So the word Bhagavan has got many meanings. One of the meaning, the general meaning which is usually given by Parashara Muni is that one who is a possessor of six opulences: power, knowledge, beauty, fame and renunciation. So he gives the meaning, the word Bhagavan is a combination of Ba plus Ga plus Va plus Van. Van means possessor. Possessor of Ba. Ba means Bharta. One who is the maintainer and nourisher of all living entities. Or one who is the maintainer and nourisher of, especially of his devotees. And the word Ga means Gamayatita. So the word Gamayatita, it means that forget the exact meaning, but the word Va means Vasati, that means in whom the Supreme Lord, in whom all the living entities reside, and the Lord who resides in the in the hearts of his devotees. So one who is having these three opulences, one who is a maintainer and nourisher of all the living entities, and one who resides in the hearts of all the living entities, one who possesses these opulences is called as Bhagavan. But there is also another meaning of the word Bhagavan. It means that Bhajaniya Guna Vishishta. Bhajaniya Guna Vishishta. That means one who possesses such attractive qualities that when a person comes in contact with him, that one cannot resist himself in being attracted to him. And one cannot resist himself in actually worshipping him. Bhajaniya Guna Vishishta. So, the first meaning of the word Bhagavan, which is a general meaning, one who is a maintainer and nourisher, one who resides in every living entity's heart. Yeah, this meaning especially applies to Lord Narayan. But the word Bhajaniya Guna Vishishta, this meaning applies especially to Lord Krishna. Because he possesses such attractive qualities that when a person comes in contact with him, one cannot resist oneself in being actually attracted towards him. So there is a verse in the Srimad Bhagavatam, 4th canto, where Lord Shiva is saying, Pura Rechaka Samvigna Vali Valgu Dalodaram. So he is describing the beautiful form of Krishna, and he describes the navel of the Supreme Lord. And he says that from the navel of the Lord, a lotus flower came, and from the lotus flower, Lord Brahma appeared, and Lord Brahma created this universe. So when the universe came out of the navel of the Lord, that the universe, being attracted by the navel of the Lord, it wanted to again enter into the navel. So that was the beauty of the Lord's navel. So Prabhupada explains that usually, like when we describe the beauty of a person, navel is something which we, like nobody describes the beauty of a navel, someone may describe the beauty of a face or the eyes, or the different other parts of the hair of the person. But the navel is something insignificant part, but even that insignificant part of the body of Lord Krishna, that is so attractive that even universe wanted to enter into that navel of the Supreme Lord. So this shows that actually Krishna is all attractive. So we are going to discuss especially one of the pastime of Krishna, that is Krishna's killing the demons. So when Krishna appears in this world, Krishna appears for the purpose of establishing dharma. Whenever and wherever there is a decline in dharma, he comes to establish dharma, to kill the miscreants, and also to reciprocate with his pure unalloyed devotees, which is the primary purpose of the Lord's appearance in this world. So Lord appears to establish prema, to reciprocate love with his devotees, and also to establish dharma. So although the primary purpose of the Lord is to establish prema, the secondary purpose is to establish dharma, so one may actually think that Krishna would spend more time for establishing the primary purpose and less time would be spent for the secondary purpose. Because the secondary purpose is to establish dharma and to kill the demons. So one would think that maybe less time would be spent by Krishna for that. But actually, although the secondary purpose is to establish dharma and to kill the demons, but Krishna spends more time to establish dharma and to kill the demons. Krishna, in his first 10 years in Vrindavan, he actually performs beautiful pastimes with the residents of Vrindavan, and in that way he actually he increases their love towards him. He shows his loving pastimes towards the Vrajavasis for the whole world. But after 10 years, when he leaves Vrindavan, the rest of the 100 years, he is in Mathura, in Dwaraka, in killing the demons and establishing dharma. So that means like more than 100 years he actually spends for establishment of dharma, although it's a secondary purpose. So we would think that the secondary purpose is to establish dharma, that means like Krishna would spend less time. But actually, you see that how Krishna establishes prema is that first 10 years he actually reciprocates with his loving devotees in Vrindavan. And then after leaving Vrindavan, he actually increases the love of the residents of Vrindavan in being separated from them. Because in separation from a person, the love towards a person is actually tested. So in that sense, Krishna, while being away from Vrindavan, he is actually simultaneously establishing prema and also dharma. Because in separation from Vrindavan, he is going to show to the whole world the love of the residents of Vrindavan, how their love is actually topmost even in separation from Krishna. In that sense, he is actually establishing their prema, establishing the height of their love towards Krishna, and simultaneously is establishing dharma by killing the different demons and establishing proper governance in different countries. So that is the beauty of Krishna, that he is actually harmonizing the establishment of prema and he is harmonizing the establishment of dharma. And so just like Krishna's appearance in this world, it has these three purposes. So similarly, the purpose of the appearance of Srimad Bhagavatam also has these three purposes. Krishne Swadamo Pagate Dharma Jnanadibhisaha Kalau Nashta Drishamyesha Puranarku Adunoditaha. So after Krishna disappeared from this world, Krishna has arisen in the form of the Srimad Bhagavatam, the book Srimad Bhagavatam, which is actually non-different from Krishna, which also has these three purposes, in the sense that Srimad Bhagavatam will actually defeat all the atheistic philosophies which are like demoniac in nature. And Srimad Bhagavatam will actually take by hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, by reading Srimad Bhagavatam, a person will actually can develop love for the Supreme Personality of God. It's explained that simply by giving oral reception to the message of Srimad Bhagavatam, the Supreme Lord becomes captured in the heart of the devotee. Sadhyo hrud avarudhyatetra kritibhi susru subis tat kshanat. So Srimad Bhagavatam also has same purposes, to defeat all the wrong philosophies and to actually to establish the highest dharma of loving the Supreme Personality of God. So, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, in the 10th canto, when Krishna performs his pastimes, Vrindavan Leela, so there are two types of Krishna's pastimes. One is called as Nitya Leela and another is called as Naimittika Leela. Nitya Leela are the eternal pastimes of Krishna, and Naimittika Leela are the pastimes which Krishna performs in the material world, such as killing of the demons. In the spiritual world, there are no demons. Of course, sometimes there is a rumor of the demons in order to create excitement. There is an excitement in order to excite his devotees. But the demons are there only in the material world, especially the killing pastime, killing of the demons, and Krishna's appearance, taking birth. These are all actually called as Naimittika Leela. And his pastimes with the gopis and the gopas, with his Nanda Maharaja, Mother Yashoda. So these are all, they are all called as Nitya Leela, the eternal pastimes. So both these pastimes are important, but especially the Naimittika Leela, they are important for the sadhakas or the practitioners of devotional service. So those who are sadhakas, they practice Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti, and in an advanced stage, a person practices spontaneous devotional service. To give a simple example, that Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti means the inspiration to perform bhakti it comes from actually hearing from the scriptures and from the spiritual master and the superior Vaishnavas. Just like suppose when the mother tells the child, this is a time for lunch, you must come and eat. So because out of fear of the mother, because of hearing the instruction from the mother, the child comes to actually eat lunch. But when the child actually grows up, so when there is a hunger within, because of the hunger within, even without being called by the mother, when the child actually comes and says, I want to eat something, where is the lunch? So when there is a spontaneous hunger from within, so that is a more mature stage. So the first, when the child comes because of the instruction of the mother, this is like the inspiration is because of somebody else telling, therefore you are coming and eating. So because when we hear from the scriptures, when we hear from the maybe somebody whom we consider superior, so therefore I want to follow these principles, then that is called as Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti, which most of us, we practice Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti. But when the inspiration to practice bhakti comes from within, when there is a spontaneous attraction, so that is called as spontaneous devotional service or Raganuga Sadhana Bhakti. But in both the stages, one practices bhakti according to the instructions of the scriptures. So it is not that when a person goes to a higher stage, that scriptures become irrelevant. The inspiration to practice spontaneous devotional service, it is not dependent on the scriptures. The inspiration is not dependent on the scriptures, but the practice is dependent on the scriptures. Just like, again coming to the same example, so when a child is hungry from within, even without being told by mother, he comes to eat prasadam, he comes to eat the lunch. But although the hunger is from within, he comes to eat the food, but still to eat that food has to be cooked according to the proper recipe. It has to be cooked according to the proper procedure. That means there should be a reference to how the food has to be cooked. So the inspiration, the impetus may be spontaneous. Impetus to practice Raganuga Sadhana Bhakti is not dependent on the scriptures. But the practice of Raganuga Sadhana Bhakti is actually according to scriptures. So in that sense, the scriptures are important in all the stages. So anyway, the point we are talking about is Nitya Leela and Naimittika Leela. So Naimittika Leela is very much relevant for the sadhakas, because in the practice of Sadhana Bhakti, a person experiences different obstacles for practicing bhakti. And these obstacles are eradicated by hearing the Naimittika Leela. So one has to hear both Nitya Leela and Naimittika Leela, but in the stage of Sadhana Bhakti, Naimittika Leela is given more emphasis. So when a person hears both Nitya Leela and Naimittika Leela, a person can develop love toward the Supreme Personality of God. So there are, for example, that it's explained that, so there is, like, when you want to actually grow a tree, so you have to plant a seed. So not only a seed is important, but the land has to be fertile, and you have to actually water the seed regularly. So seed, land, and the watering process. So all three are important. So one may have so what do these three things represent? In the bhakti is that the seed is the seed of bhakti lata beech. So when we talk about bhakti lata beech, the seed of actually devotional service, it means actually, it refers to the faith. So when a person comes in contact with a devotee of the Lord, when a person comes in contact with Srila Prabhupada and his teachings and his actually followers, a person, in one's heart, the bhakti lata beech is sown. The seed of pure faith. What is the seed of pure faith? It means that simply by serving Krishna, Shraddha Sabde Vishwas Kahe Sudhuda Nishchay, Krishna Karma Haila Sarva Karma Krita Hai. It means like simply by serving Krishna, everything else is accomplished. Simply by serving Krishna, all the demigods are pleased. And simply by serving Krishna, all one's needs will be taken care of. That is called the seed of pure faith. So this seed of pure faith is actually sown. But simply that seed is not sufficient, but the land has to be fertile. So what does it mean? Land has to be fertile means one has to have a proper behavior. One has to have a proper behavior. And one, not only the land has to be fertile, but one has to regularly water that seed. That means that watering process is referring to hearing and chanting. Which is like one has to regularly hear Srimad Bhagavatam and chant the holy names. So somebody may be doing the watering process, but if the behavior is not proper, that means if the obstacles are not eradicated, if the behavior is not proper, then that means if the land is not fertile, even though you may be actually watering, the plant will not grow properly. So there are many wrong behaviors, wrong attitudes, which actually cause an obstacle for the growth of this actually Bhakti Lata Beach. So each of these demons who are killed by Krishna, they represent different wrong mindsets, different wrong anarthas, which are actually obstacle. So that is what we are going to discuss. So when we discuss this story, that so there is the actual leela of Krishna killing the demon, and then Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he mentions that how these different demons represent different anarthas. He says this demon means this anartha. So this is called as actually metaphorical interpretation of the scriptures. Like there are three levels of interpretation of the three ways of interpreting the scriptures. One is the literal interpretation of the scriptures. That means we read the verses that we understand the literal meaning of the words of the scriptures. And another is the ethical meaning. That means we can derive certain moral principles, ethical meanings from the scriptures. And third is called as metaphorical interpretation of the scriptures, which comes under the category of Gauna Vritti, or secondary meaning. That means certain characters in the scriptures represent certain symbols. Like for example, this metaphorical meaning is adopted by various acharyas. For example, in the Sri Sampradaya, they say that Sita is compared to a living entity. When Sita was attracted by that golden deer, when the living entity is attracted towards the sense objects, then that time Ravan came and kidnapped Sita. The material mind actually kidnaps the living entity and puts into the fortress of the material body called as Lanka. And then in order to release that living entity from that fortress of Lanka, the Lord sends the Guru. Hanumanji represents the Guru. So this is like the Sita is compared to a living entity, Hanumanji is compared to the Guru, and Ravan is compared to the mind, material mind, Lanka is compared to the material body, like that. So this is like a symbolism. And like otherwise, Madhvacharya also gives different interpretation of different pastimes. So similarly, the symbolic understanding is that these anarthas represent these demons represent the different anarthas. So when we understand this, that sometimes some people, when the modern scholars, when they give interpretation, they completely hide the actual pastime, they only give the symbolic meaning. So when the metaphorical meaning, when we are giving the metaphorical meaning, it is not that we actually reject the literal meaning. For example, certain scholars, they just mentioned that Kurukshetra, it represents the body and the Pandavas, there is a good side and the Kauravas are the bad side. So they give the symbolical meaning, but they say that there is nothing called that this war actually did not take place, But you can learn some lesson from this story that Kurukshetra represents the body and they give a symbolical meaning. So that means they completely reject the historical fact that the war actually took place. So when we give the metaphorical meaning should actually supplement the literal meaning. It is not supposed to replace the literal meaning. So therefore, this is something important. That's why Srila Prabhupada would often actually criticize that Kurukshetra is the actual place. It is existing even today. You can go and see. So Prabhupada did not reject the metaphorical meaning, but he actually emphasized that we should not. He criticized the scholars who actually reject the literal meaning. So therefore, these three meanings are the literal meaning, ethical meaning, and the metaphorical interpretation of the scriptures. And coming to the this actually pastime of Krishna killing Bakasur. So this pastime comes in the chapter 11 of the 10th canto. So so once Krishna and Balram and the cowherd boys, they were actually roaming in the forest of Vrindavan. So they had come to a reservoir of water, and the cowherd boys, they made the calves to drink the water to their full satisfaction. And then at that time, when they came to that place, so they saw a scene which actually, by which they were completely wonderstruck. So they saw in that, just near the reservoir of water, they saw a gigantic body which was resembling like a mountain but with its peak broken. And this mountain appeared to be like the peak of the mountain was broken. It appeared that the peak was actually broken by a thunderbolt. And when they saw that particular scene, they were very afraid to see that scene. And actually that particular creature which appeared like a mountain, that was actually the demon called as Bakasur. That Bakasur, he had assumed the body of a huge duck and he had a very sharp beak. And immediately when Krishna and the cowherd boys came, immediately Bakasur actually swallowed Krishna within his mouth. And when Bakasur swallowed Krishna, and the cowherd boys, Balramji and the cowherd boys, they immediately became unconscious when they saw that Krishna was swallowed by Bakasur. So actually Balramji had that power to actually kill Bakasur. So many times actually Krishna would try to protect, Balramji would try to protect Krishna from the attack of the other demons. Like when and Krishna came to actually kidnap Rukmini. So Krishna went with a small army. So Balramji was very much concerned that maybe there will be other kings who try to attack Krishna. So Balramji, he came with his army. And then when the kings try to attack Krishna, Balramji tried to attack them. So Balramji would actually try to protect Krishna. Even in other pastimes, after Balramji killed Denukasur, many other ass demons, they came to attack Krishna. So that time Balramji came in front of Krishna in order to give protection to Krishna. But on this occasion, Balramji also became unconscious out of his intense affection towards Krishna. Out of his intense affection towards Krishna, Balramji and the other cowherd boys became unconscious like senses without life. So at that time, when Krishna was within the mouth of actually Bakasur, so Vallabhacharya has written a beautiful song, Maduram, Maduram, Madurebhyo. He says that how actually everything about Krishna is actually sweet, how Krishna's speech is sweet, how Krishna's walking is sweet, how Krishna's beauty is very sweet. So everything about Krishna is actually sweet. But so here the personification of that sweetness was within the mouth of Bakasur, but Bakasur felt he felt a completely different sensation. Krishna became very hot like fire. Krishna was burning the like his throat was getting burnt because of Krishna. So here we see that Srila Prabhupada says that ye yata mam prapadyante tam sataiva bhajamyaham. So depending on how you approach Krishna, that Krishna reciprocates with a person. So Bakasur approached Krishna with the intention to kill Krishna, and Krishna, who is the personification of sweetness, he appeared like a burning hot fire to Bakasur. So we say, that's why it's explained that Atha Shri Krishna Namadi na bhaved grahyam indriyai sevon mukehi jihvado swayam eva suratyadaha. The name, fame, pastimes and qualities of the Supreme Lord are actually completely transcendental. They cannot be, they are not within the grasp of the material senses. But when a person develops a service attitude, sevon mukehi jihvado, the same spiritual names, pastimes of the Supreme Lord, they become revealed to a person. So the main thing is that depending on how we approach the Supreme Lord. Like for example, that in the Srimad Bhagavatam, in the 6th canto, in the story of Ajamil, he was a Brahmana and then he became attracted to a prostitute and he committed so many sinful activities. But the last moment of life, he chanted the name Narayan, referring to his son. When the Yamadutas came to take him, the Vishnudutas came and stopped the Yamadutas. And then there is a conversation between the Yamadutas and the Vishnudutas. And Vishnudutas ask the Yamadutas, like, can you tell me what is the purpose of Dharma? Like, who are the proper candidates for punishment? What is actually Dharma? And then Yamadutas answer those questions. And Vishnudutas, in answer, they say that how Ajamil is completely sinless because he has chanted the holy names of the Supreme Lord. Whatever Yamadutas spoke was actually, it was according to Dharma, but according to the ordinary Dharma. But because Ajamil had actually chanted the holy names of the Supreme Lord, therefore Vishnudutas said he is completely sinless. And then Vishnudutas, they spoke about the glories of the holy name. So at that time, Yamadutas, they heard a full-fledged seminar on the holies of the holy, on the glories of the holy name from the Vishnudutas. But then they went to meet Yamaraj. They went to meet Yamaraj with the purpose to inspire Yamaraj to punish the Vishnudutas. Means, although they heard the glories of the holy name from the Vishnudutas, like, while hearing, their attitude was that, oh, these people, they actually stopped us from taking Ajamil. So they felt actually, although they were hearing, but their attitude was that, because they were so hurt by Vishnudutas stopping them from actually taking Ajamil, so they did not hear in the right attitude. So therefore, when they went to meet Yamaraj, they only wanted to request Yamaraj to punish the Vishnudutas. So that means that hearing also with the right attitude is important. On the other hand, when the Yamaraj told Yamaraj. That we went to arrest a person, but that person chanted Narayan, and then suddenly some four personalities came and actually stopped them in taking the sinful person. As soon as Yamaraj hears this word Narayan, he becomes like completely happy. Although the Yamadutas were actually disrespectful towards the Yamaraj, but when Yamaraj heard the word Narayan, because for all along Yamaraj had been only hearing that maybe 5 murders, 6 robbery, this person should be sent to Kumbhipak hell, this person should be sent to Asipatravan, this person should be sent to Raurava hell. So this would be the normal conversation in the in the sabha of Yamaraj. So how many murders and how many crimes different people have committed. But for the first time, he heard the word Narayan from the Yamadutas. So just by hearing the word Narayan, he did not hear it. He did not hear some full-fledged Bhagavatam seminar or something. He just heard the word Narayan, and by that he became so happy, he started meditating on Lord Narayan. So that means that we can see that depending on the attitude, that even though somebody may hear the full-fledged seminar on the glories of the holy name, but if the attitude is not proper, that the Yamadutas, they wanted to kill the person who spoke the glories of the holy name. On the other hand, Yamaraj did not hear Narayan from some elevated person. He just heard from Yamadutas who wanted to actually kill some Vaishnavas. But because he had the right attitude, he was actually attracted to that. So therefore, the point here is that Yeyata Mam Prapadyante. So Bakasur, because he wanted to kill Krishna, Krishna appeared like fire to Bakasur. So when Bakasur, when he saw that Krishna did not die within his mouth and he could not tolerate the heat, then immediately he actually released Krishna from his mouth. He actually spat Krishna. So Krishna came out, and Krishna came out without any harm. And then Bakasur tried to attack Krishna. So at that time, Krishna, with his hands, he actually captured Bakasur, and with his two hands, he actually bifurcated the body of Bakasur as easily as a child would actually bifurcate, split insignificant grass. And Krishna bifurcated the body of Bakasur, and Bakasur died immediately. And when Bakasur died, all the demigods became so pleased, and they showered flowers upon Krishna for this act of Krishna. And so in this way, Bakasur died. And then the cowherd boys, they became so happy. And the cowherd boys, they collected their calves, and then they returned to Vrindavan. And they informed all the Vrajavasis how Krishna had killed Bakasur on that particular day. And there would be a regular practice that they would compose songs on that particular pastime. They composed songs of Krishna killing Bakasur, and they told to all other residents of Vrindavan. So Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he explains that this Bakasur, this demon killed by Krishna, Bakasur represents the anartha called as duplicity and cheating propensity. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he says that when he talks, he explains that Naimittika Leela should be, not only a sadhaka should hear these pastimes, and they should actually contemplate on these pastimes, and not only just contemplate, but the sadhakas should actually discuss amongst themselves. And further he says that not only we should discuss, that before chanting the holy names, we should actually pray to Krishna to overcome, to actually kill these anarthas represented by these demons. So in this case, Bakasur represents duplicity and cheating propensity. So we will discuss something on this particular anartha. Of course, we are discussing on this anarthas. It's not that I am freed from this anarthas. I am also just a sadhaka like any of us. But it's just we are trying to reflect on this particular anartha. Actually, if you see the principle of honesty, which is exactly the duplicity is exactly opposite to honesty. So in one sense, honesty is actually, it's more difficult to practice. In one sense, it is easy to practice purity when we are in the association of other people who are pure. In the association of other people who are pure, then we automatically tend to behave in a particular manner. But to actually practice honesty, it is more difficult because it is a direct blow to our false ego. To accept our shortcomings, it is actually difficult. So Krishna explains in the Bhagavad Gita மனப்பிரசாதாத் சௌமியத்வம் ஸ்தைரியம் ஆத்ம வினிகிரக பாவசம்சுத்தி ரித்தியேத தப்போ மானசம் உச்சத்தை. கிருஷ்ணா சேஸ் தட் ஒன் ஆஃப் த ஆஸ்டிரிட்டி ஆஃப் த மைண்ட் இஸ் தட் டு பிராக்டிஸ் சிம்பிளிசிட்டி ஆர் ஹானஸ்டி. ஆர்ஜவம் மீன்ஸ் பிகேன் தி சிம்பிளிசிட்டி ஆர் ஹானஸ்டி. சோ இட் இஸ் அன் ஆஸ்டிரிட்டி ஆஃப் த மைண்ட். அண்ட் வென் வி சே, வென் த ஆச்சாரியர் சே தட் ஜஸ்ட் பி சிம்பிள், தட் மீன்ஸ் தே ஆர் நாட் ஆஸ்கிங் மச். I suppose if I say that, just give me 2 crore rupees. So this statement itself is actually is contradictory. That when you say just do this, that means you are going to ask something very simple. But if you say just do 2 crore rupees, means it is a contradictory. The statement is not properly framed. So when the acharyas are saying that just be simple, they are not asking for something very difficult. They are asking something like something which is very easy. That means we have to be what we are. Just be simple. So this particular anartha of being duplicitous or diplomatic behavior, cheating propensity, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also explains in his instruction. He says that kuti nati nishiddachara jiva himsan. So some of the prominent weeds which actually grow along with the practice of bhakti is, one of the weed is called as kuti nati, that means diplomatic behavior. Diplomatic behavior means that like we try to pose ourselves something which we are not. So Prabhupada writes in that purport that diplomatic behavior cannot satisfy the soul. It cannot satisfy even the body or even the mind. That means even on a physical platform, like when a person is not honest, it can it will not satisfy the body, even the mind also. Means when a person is diplomatic, like he will be always suspicious. So his mind will be always suspicious, and he cannot sleep peacefully. To hide the one falsity, he will have to speak another false. So in that sense, it creates a very complicated situation. And like especially time and again in the Srimad Bhagavatam, it's explained that one of the qualification to actually surrender to the Lord, one of the qualification to know the Lord is that one should be freed from all the pretensions. The Shukadeva Goswami in his prayers in the Srimad Bhagavatam, he says that Sayesha Atmat Mavatam Adishwaras Trayimayo Dharmamayas Tapomaya Gatavyalikair Ajashankaradibir Vitarkya Lingo Bhagavan Prasidatam. So he says that the Supreme Lord is the super soul of all the living entities, and he is the personification of all the Vedas, Dharma and Tapasya. And this Supreme Lord is known by those who are freed from all the pretensions. Gatavyalikair. Those who are freed from all the pretensions, such as Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, Shukadeva Goswami, etc. May the Supreme Personality of Godhead be pleased with me. So the qualification to know the Supreme Lord is that one has to be freed from all the pretensions. So when we talk about Gatavyalikai, so the word Gatavyalikai, it is also equivalent to another word. It's called as Projita Kaitava Dharma. Kaitava Dharma. So in the Srimad Bhagavatam, in the very beginning, it is explained that Srimad Bhagavatam kicks out all types of cheating religions. Kaitava Dharma. So when we talk about cheating religion, Srila Jiva Goswami gives a very strong definition of cheating religion. Like if we see this definition, like most of us will come under the category of actually this Kaitava Dharma. So he says that even if a person has one desire apart from the desire to please the Supreme Lord, he is actually practicing cheating religion. So we have actually many desires apart from the desire to please the Lord. So from that point of view, we may be practicing cheating religion. So when we hear such definition, sometimes we may wonder that such idealistic definition, it's like very difficult to practice. We can only hear in the scriptures. But Srimad Bhagavatam, although it is giving us such a pure understanding of what is the Bhagavad Dharma, what is the highest Dharma, and it is rejecting like any Dharma, even in that if a person has one desire apart from the desire to please the Lord, it is calling as cheating religion. The same Srimad Bhagavatam is actually encouraging everyone to actually practice bhakti, even if a person is filled with all kinds of material desires. Akama sarva kamova moksha kama udaradi. So when it comes to establishing Siddhanta, so there is no compromise in the establishment of Siddhanta. There is no compromise that what is actually true Dharma, what is cheating religion, even if a person has one desire, apart from the desire to please the Lord, it is calling it a cheating religion. So the establishment of Siddhanta, there cannot be any compromise. But in the name of establishing Siddhanta, if we discourage the people to practice the process, then we actually lose the purpose of actually presenting the truth. So the enlightenment of the proper Siddhanta should be accompanied with encouragement of the person to take up the process. If the enlightenment is not accompanied with encouragement, and it is actually useless. If the encouragement is only there, but if there is no enlightenment, encouragement means that you are actually encouraging the person to behave nicely with the person, encouraging the person to take up the process. So Srimad Bhagavatam is encouraging the person that even if you are filled with all kinds of desires, you can practice bhakti. So that is the encouragement. So therefore, enlightenment has to be accompanied with encouragement. So anyway, this point, Kaitava Dharma. So Kaitava Dharma means cheating religion. So if a person, so according to the pure Siddhanta, even if a person goes to the Supreme Lord with a desire, apart from the desire to please the Lord, that means he is having a cheating propensity. He is practicing cheating religion. So that cheating propensity is represented by this Bakasur. And when Srila Prabhupada gives a definition of sadhu, so many times we wonder, sadhu means somebody who is wearing a saffron robes, maybe one who is shaven, or one who is having a beard, or one who is having a jata. But sadhu means one who is, he says, a purified man who are thoroughly honest. Purified people who are thoroughly honest. So he is giving a qualitative definition of a sadhu. So this example, for example, Narada Muni is one such sadhu. So Narada Muni tells his own story in the Srimad Bhagavatam. He says that how from the son of a maid servant, how he became the transcendental spaceman Narada Muni. So this is like a story of rags to riches. Story of rags to riches. From the son of a maid servant, he became the eternal associate of the Lord. But the same Narada Muni, he did not only tell his success story, but he also told the story of how he actually fell down from his position of being a Gandharva, and how he came to the position of actually a Upabhar, how he came to the position of a son of a maid servant. By the curse of the other demigods, once he went to the Kirtan program. So when he went to the Kirtan program, instead of chanting some songs in glorification of the Lord, he sang some mundane lusty songs or mundane cinema songs. And then, so the people, other sages and other people, they felt, oh, this is completely inappropriate to the situation. And Narada Muni, in order to attract some women there, he sang some actually cinema songs, or lusty songs, Prabhupada writes. So then he was actually cursed to become a maid, son of a maid servant. So Narada Muni, we see that he not only told us actually a success story, but he also did not hide his story of how he actually fell down. So this is actually called a sadhu, the like purified men who are thoroughly honest. And in one class, His Holiness Radhana Swami Maharaj explained. So when he talked about like this duplicity or hypocrisy, whatever you may call, he said that so there are many people in this world who are truthful. So there are different levels of truthfulness. One level of truthfulness means that, or truthfulness or honesty means basically speaking the truth, being truthful, being straightforward. In a simple way to the people of the world and around us. There are many people who are also truthful. Like somebody said that, oh, I have eaten beef yesterday, come and actually do whatever I say. So that is actually like arrogant shamelessness actually. So they are doing some wrong activities and they may be truthful to tell that, but they are very arrogant in nature. But so, there are many moralists who are also truthful. But he said the higher level of being truthful or being honest is that means that leading our life in such a way that the Paramatma within our heart is actually pleased with us. Leading our life in such a way, the super soul is actually pleased with us. That is actually a higher level of honesty. So, and also when we talk about honesty, honesty means it is not just to know where you are or to actually to tell the other people that this is what I am, but also not to remain where you are. So when a person is honest, then one has to actually accept the fact that one has to accept his fact, but also not to remain where he is. Not just to accept his shortcomings, but also to actually go above those shortcomings. Like for example, the life of Dhruva Maharaj. When Dhruva Maharaj went to the forest, he wanted to perform austerities, he wanted to get a kingdom greater than that of his grandfather, Lord Brahma. So Narada Muni came, and Narada Muni said that, you are just a small boy, that why are you so much bothered about this harsh speech of your stepmother? And just don't take it seriously. And he said that, Gunadikam Mudam Lipsit Anukrosha Gunadamat. He said that one should be happy when you meet actually superior personalities. One should not try to compete with the equals, and one should be compassionate towards the juniors. So you should learn, you should have this kind of behavior. Don't try to compete with your other brother Uttam, or don't try to get a higher kingdom. So Narada Muni spoke like this. So Dhruva Maharaj said that actually I cannot follow your instruction. He frankly admitted, he was honest actually, he was honestly admitted that I cannot follow your instruction because my heart has been pierced by this harsh words of my stepmother. If you can tell me something by which I can go to the actually, I can get a kingdom greater than that of Lord Brahma, then you be here, otherwise you can actually vacate this place. So basically the point is that Dhruva Maharaj frankly admitted, he was honest enough to admit his shortcomings, accepted what his level is. But another point is that Dhruva Maharaj did not remain where he was. Honesty is not simply to accept our shortcomings, but to not remain with our shortcomings, but to actually rise above it. So Dhruva Maharaj eventually, it is not that he remained attached to those actually his material aspirations. Eventually he said that, Swamin Kritartosmi Varamna Yache. After he met the Supreme Lord, after seeing the Supreme Lord, he said that, actually the previous aspiration of mine, I consider the desire to get a kingdom greater than that of Lord Brahma, I consider that kingdom of Lord Brahma to be like a broken pieces of glass. Because I have got a rare diamond like you. It means like he did not remain attached to his level of actually approaching the Supreme Lord with the material desires. So one can, one has to understand this particular point. Another thing is that, another example we can see in the life of Kardama Muni also. So Kardama Muni, when he approached Lord Vishnu, when he offers prayers to Lord Vishnu, he actually condemns those people who approach the Supreme Lord for material desires. He says that those people who approach you to fulfill their material desires, they are actually bewildered by your Maya. But after condemning them, he says that, but I have also come to you to fulfill my material desire in order to get a wife who will actually support in my religious practices. So he said, although I have condemned those people, but still I have this material desire, so therefore that is why I have come to you. So Kardama Muni, he was actually harnessed to actually accept his level. So Kardama Muni had little material desires, that's why he approached the Lord, he approached the Lord to fulfill those material desires. But Kardama Muni did not remain in that level. Kardama Muni did not remain in that level. And ultimately, eventually, after marrying Devahuti, after begetting children, and then he eventually dedicated himself in the service of the Supreme Lord. So therefore, this is an important aspect of honesty. And another important point is that in the case of, usually, when we are given a service, that suppose five services are given and we have accomplished one or two services, so usually we try to focus on the services which we have accomplished, and we don't actually focus on those services which we actually missed out. But when a person is honest, when a person is sincere, he focuses more on his shortcomings and those services which he has not accomplished, although he may have accomplished even more. Like for example, Rupa Goswami, he was given instruction by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to excavate the holy places, to actually to establish the deities which were previously established by the Krishna's grandson, great-grandson, Vajranab. So Rupa Goswami had actually followed all the instructions of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but one particular instruction he could not actually follow. That is, he could not actually find the deity of Govinda Dev. But Rupa Goswami, he could have focused on how I followed so many other instructions. But just because he could not follow this one particular instruction, he was like extremely depressed, and he was so much anxious, and he was so sad that I could not follow this instruction. So this is a sign of a sincere and honest person. He focuses on his shortcomings instead of like how much he has accomplished. For example, other examples of honesty, how they don't cheat is that once Narada Muni, he approached Lord Brahma. So Narada Muni said that I feel that you are the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You have only created this, all these planetary systems, you have created so many living entities. I think you are the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But still, sometimes I see that you also perform austerities. So, is there somebody superior to you? So, when Narada Muni said like that, that time Lord Brahma explains, he says, actually, I am very thankful to you for asking this question. In fact, you have been merciful towards me. Because of your questions, I am getting an inspiration to meditate upon the Supreme Lord. So therefore, here the speaker is thanking the hearer that you have been merciful towards me. So this is the proper mood of the Srimad Bhagavatam speaker, that he is actually considers that this, hearers are actually merciful towards him for giving an opportunity to speak about the Supreme Lord. And Lord Brahma, then he explains that actually I am not the creator, I am created by the Supreme Lord, and I create the universe which has already been created by the Lord. I manifest the universe which is already manifested by the Lord. And then Lord Brahma explains that I actually offer my obeisances to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, whose maya potency makes the whole world consider me as the Guru. He says that whose maya potency makes me considered as the guru of the whole universe. So Lord Brahma is immediately accepting the fact that he is not the Supreme Lord, but whereas actually I am only created by the Lord. I am actually under the empowerment of the Lord only. I am able to do all these things. So he explains that. Vilajyamanaya yasya statum iksha pate muya vimohita vikatante mamaham iti durdiyaha. He says, under the influence of the illusory energy, people in this world, they actually talk nonsense. That means like, they talk in terms of me and mine. So here we see that Lord Brahma is actually telling Narada Muni that he is giving an important principle, that those who give respect and receive respect without reference to the Lord, they are bewildered by Maya. So in this world, somebody is giving respect to others, or if somebody is in the position of receiving respect from others, so both should be done in reference to the Supreme Lord. When you give respect to somebody, yeah, we give respect to them, but we have to give respect in reference to the Supreme Lord, in relation to the Supreme Lord. We're like, oh, this person has got the mercy of the Guru and the Supreme Lord, therefore he's actually performing, he's able to perform this. And we respect that in relation to the Supreme Lord. And then when we receive the respect also, we have to accept the respect in relation to the Supreme Lord. That means like, so we have to consider that, oh, it is actually... it is because I have received the mercy of the superior, so therefore they are recognizing that mercy which I received from the superiors, they are recognizing that mercy, and let me offer that their praise towards my superiors. So this is, on the other hand, like in a personality cult. So personality cult and religion based on truth. In a personality cult, people respect a person not seeing that person in relation to the Supreme Lord. People respect a person because somebody speaks in a very stylish manner, somebody very charismatic in his behavior, or somebody acts nicely. So they actually they respect him like for his act, not for he's representing the truth, but because of his external behavior or external actually beauty or external charisma or the style in which he speaks. But in a religion which is based on truth, in a proper religion which is based on truth, one will actually respect a person because he is representing the truth. When somebody is representing the truth, therefore we respect him, even though he may not have the external skill in which of presenting the truth in a very palatable manner, in a speaking in a very attractive manner. But when a person is representing the truth, that person is respected. So that is why in the scriptures, and not only we respect a person, not only we respect the person who is representing the truth, we respect anybody, all the persons who are representing the truth. So that is why in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Vande Gurun, I offer my respects to all the spiritual masters. Because there are many spiritual masters who represent the truth. So when we are in a actually personality cult, because this attitude of personality cult can come even in the spiritual society. That means, even in a spiritual society, when a personality cult comes, then how people behave is that because my guru is all in all. Whatever he says, I will follow. So even if that book, that person, the particular guru is actually misrepresenting the truth, then the followers continue to follow him because they are actually, they are in the personality cult. They are not looking for the truth. If somebody is looking for the truth, then one will respect the person if he is representing the truth, even if he is externally not charismatic. And he will respect anybody who is representing the truth. That means he will respect all the spiritual masters. So he is seeing the person in relation to the truth, in relation to the Supreme Lord, in relation to the Guru, Sadhu and Shastra. So, but those people who respect others and are those who receive respect without reference to the Supreme Lord, both are actually bewildered by Maya. And so in this way, Lord Brahma is actually, Lord Brahma is immediately, he is honestly admitting that I am not the Supreme, but the Supreme Lord is actually empowering me to do these things. Please do not consider me that I am not the Supreme. And another example, like Yamaraj also, when the Yamadutas go to meet Yamaraj, again in the story of Ajamil, they ask Yamaraj that, are there more controllers in this world? Is there somebody apart from you? So then Yamaraj, he immediately says, actually, I am not the Supreme Controller. I am not the Supreme Controller. In fact, even the other controllers like Indra, Chandra, Brahma, Shiva, all of us are under the control of the Supreme Lord. Immediately, honestly accepts that I am not the Supreme. But in this world, so we see the cheating propensity happens between the followers and also with the and the spiritual masters also. Sometimes many followers consider the spiritual master as God, and those spiritual masters continue to accept their glorification and they don't deny that I am not God. And in the case of the followers, they try to do some shortcut. They don't want to follow all the instructions. Like when you mentioned Rupa Goswami, Rupa Goswami wanted to follow all the instructions of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu perfectly. See, because he had the completely honesty in following the instruction of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he focused on that instruction which he did not follow. But when there is a cheating propensity, one focuses on an instruction which he has followed and does not focus on which he has not followed, and one tries to do a little shortcut. So Yamaraj also, he immediately accepted that actually myself, and he gives other list of people, all of us, we are under the control of the Supreme Lord and we do not know the Supreme Lord. And he mentions his name first because he is eager to accept his subordination. He is eager to accept his subordination under the Supreme Lord. So therefore he mentions his name first. Usually like great personalities, they are not so self-conscious. So when they don't tell their name first. But Yamaraj mentions his name first and then he gives a list of other names. All of us, we are actually under the subordination of the Supreme Lord. So he is mentioning his name first because he is eager to accept his subordination under the Supreme Lord. But few verses later, he mentions his name at the end. There he is mentioning the list of Mahajans. Who are the Mahajans who know the truth? Swayambhu, Narada Shambhu, Kumara Kapilo Manuhu, and then he says, Balir Vaya Sakir Vayam. So we all of, we 12 personalities, he mentions his name at the end. So when it comes to tell that something, we know the truth, so there he mentions his name at the end because he doesn't want to project himself in the beginning. So this is the humility and the honesty of the great souls. And when we talk about this duplicitous, or actually when we talk about this cheating propensity, so it can come in two ways. There is a force from within and there is a force from outside. The internal force is that because we want to fulfill certain desires or we have certain aspiration, we want to somehow get those things done, so therefore sometimes we try to cheat people. There is an internal aspiration. There is an, because of the internal contamination, we try to cheat people. Or sometimes, because of the external force, also we tend to act somebody whom we are not. We may take up a particular role which we are not, in unconsciously, because of the external force, because of the surroundings, who are actually, when the surroundings are actually projecting certain thing, oh, you must become this, you must become this, you are this, you are this. Although we may not be fit into that particular role, but because of the influence of the surroundings, we try to act something which we are not. Again, there is a bakasur tendency. Like for example, like in the Srimad Bhagavatam, there is a story of Paundraka. This Paundraka, of course, internally he wanted to be Krishna. He said that I am actually Krishna, I am Vasudev. But there were, not only there is an internal anartha, but there were other followers of Paundraka, they were also telling him, they were flattering him, no, you are the original Vasudev. And they were also constantly speaking to him, and Paundraka, he became even more convinced. So we have to understand, the newspapers and magazines and media, they impose a certain role on us. So one is on a spiritual platform and on a psychophysical platform. On a spiritual platform, our role is that we are eternal servants of the Supreme Lord. So the surroundings, they force us to actually accept a role instead of the servants of the Supreme Lord. On a spiritual platform, we try to become the master. On a spiritual platform. And on a psychophysical platform, we have a different roles. On a psychophysical platform, we may naturally fit into a particular role, but the surroundings, the media and they impose certain roles. Oh, this is what is good. You should become engineer or a doctor, or you should become a chartered accountant. Whereas we may be fit into some other role. So because of the force of the external surroundings, unconsciously, we actually follow somebody else's role. We unconsciously, or maybe unintentionally, we tend to act duplicitously, or we try to assume some other role. Because cheating propensity or duplicity means we try to pose something which we are not. So there is, because of the internal anarthas and also because of the external force. So especially in Kali Yuga, they try to make a person accept some other role, both on a spiritual level and also on a psychophysical level. And many of the times we become actually victim to the external force. On the other hand, in the Vedic culture, if you see that when a person is supposed to assume a particular role, I will give an example, suppose some certain role in a psychophysical level, so that role is emphasized right from the beginning. Unconsciously. For example, in the Srimad Bhagavatam 3rd canto, when Swayambhu Manu, he is calling Devahuti as Amba. Amba means mother. So Swayambhu Manu, when he was actually, before actually giving Devahuti in marriage to Kardama Muni, he is actually crying tears, oh Amba, oh mother, oh my mother, oh my daughter, and then he takes leave from Devahuti. So you see, one may wonder that how can the father call the daughter as the mother? Here, Swayambhu Manu is the father, but he is calling the daughter as the mother. So the point is that in the Vedic culture, Prabhupada tells in certain lectures, even the father would address the, everyone is trained to address the women as the mother. Sometimes the father would call even the two-year-old daughter as the mother. Listen, I observed in South India, when you are speaking, the father is addressing the child. So there is at the end she would say, Ma. So in every, So there is an unconsciously you are actually imbibing, you are giving the lesson that you ultimately you are supposed to become a mother when you grow up. That because the motherly nature, motherly role is actually, it naturally fits the women. So therefore, that motherly role is actually emphasized right from the beginning in an unconscious manner. Unconsciously, even the father would address the daughter as the mother. Because that is a natural role when they grow up. But in the modern culture, we see that there is an external pressure. The external pressure, it actually makes a person assume some role which they are not, which is not natural for them. They make a person, they make a person assume some artificial role. That means like they make a person become Bakasur. But most of the, many of the times we actually become victim to those external pressure, even though a person may be innocent or he may not be duplicitous, but because of the external pressure, we assume a particular role which we are not. We assume a role which we are not. So then, in that sense, we tend to act, we tend to become duplicitous. So therefore, so whether on a psychophysical level or on a spiritual level, when we assume the role which is actually natural for us, so therefore, for the parents, it is a responsibility to actually understand the nature of the child and to actually encourage accordingly instead of imposing a particular role which they are not actually natural to them. So, and lastly, if we see that this cheating propensity, how it is present in the form of the intellectuals in Kali Yuga also, among the scientists and the intellectuals. So, in Kali Yuga, we see that there are so many people who write articles, newspaper articles, intellectuals are there. But many of these intellectuals, although they may have tremendous intelligence, they may analyze, but most of their analysis is actually influenced by the external surroundings. Many of the news are actually paid news. They write in articles in such a way it actually captures the mind. But many of those, their intelligence has been purchased by others. And most of their intelligence, it is actually focused on analyzing the faults of others. And they don't try to use their intelligence to do a self-analysis. Because their intelligence is not connected with Dharma. So all these intellectuals, they don't have a dharmic lifestyle, they don't have a sadhana in their life, they don't have a spiritual sadhana. So because there's no spiritual sadhana, so therefore they are not harnessed to themselves. So therefore the intellectual ego is one of the highest ego. And they are not harnessed to themselves, they are so busy in trying to analyzing the faults of the other people, and in this way, they are actually they allow their intelligence to be purchased by others. On the other hand, in the Vedic culture, if we see in the Pandavas' lifestyle, that Daumya Rishi was the spiritual master of the Pandavas when the Pandavas were the king, and Daumya Rishi was the spiritual master of the Pandavas. Even the Pandavas were in the forest. So Kauravas could have actually purchased, one may wonder that when the Pandavas were in the forest, that they didn't have anything to actually pay to Daumya Rishi, they didn't have much opulence to actually serve Daumya Rishi. But Daumya Rishi did not feel that, oh, now they are not going to pay me something, they are not going to give me something. He did not stop becoming the spiritual master. And Kauravas could not actually purchase Daumya Rishi by saying that, oh, now you become our spiritual master and we will pay you this much. Or in the Ramayana, that like Vasishtha Rishi, like the Dashrath Maharaj, he was the spiritual master Dashrath Maharaj. And even in the bad times, Vasishtha Rishi continued to be the actual spiritual master of Lord Ram and others. So the point is that in the Vedic culture, the intellectuals of the Vedic culture, the Rishis, they did not allow their intelligence to be purchased by other people. It means like they were harnessed to the truth. It's not that they didn't want money. Whoever gives money, so therefore we will use the intelligence for their purpose. So because they were harnessed to themselves, they were harnessed to the super soul within, and they continued to assist the Pandavas even when they were in the forest. On the other hand, the intellectuals of Kali Yuga, they are not harnessed to themselves because there is no, they are not leading a dharmic lifestyle. There is no spiritual sadhana in their lifestyle. So because of that, they actually sell their intelligence to the for the sake of others. So in this way, we see that there are so many examples of duplicity and intellectual. So as coming back to the point of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Bhaktivinoda Thakur mentions that so these pastimes of Krishna killing the demons, they should not only be heard and contemplated upon, and one should actually discuss amongst the devotees should discuss among themselves. And before chanting the holy names, we should pray to the Lord so that the Lord can actually remove these anarthas. And this will make the soil fertile. And when the soil is fertile, and then when we water the Bhakti Lata beach by the process of hearing and chanting, and it will actually grow nicely. With this, I'll actually conclude here. I think we'll stop here. ग्रंथरा श्रीमद् भागवतम की जय, श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय, गौर भक्त वृंद की जय।
हरे कृष्णा हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम।